ought to say good morning.
Morning.
Y'all all right today?
Yes.
Is it good to be in God's house?
Yes.
Good to be alive?
Yes.
Now, if you're like me, you know that there is absolutely nothing you deserve, exactly. Nothing you did,
all right.
nothing at all. It's about God.
That's right.
You didn't deserve to be here. God did it. And since God did it, we ought to praise him in this place. This ought to be the day. This ought to be the day that somebody says, God, you're a good God. Anybody want to say God is a good God? Yeah, he is. I am so happy to be here. Does anybody hear anything knocking? If you do, it's just my knees. Don't worry. I'm just happy to be here. You know, you guys are known worldwide, don't you? This is an incredible family, and I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Don't let the devil get in your way.
Amen.
Yeah, he's busy, but don't let him get in your way. Hey, I told the first worship service that yesterday was an important day. And I want to tell you, yesterday was an important day. Did anybody hear me say yesterday was an important day? Yesterday, Shelton had a birthday.
Yeah.
Y'all know y'all got a good man, don't you?
Yeah.
You cannot imagine what goes on behind closed doors. The funerals, the sermon preparations, all of the shenanigans that a man of God and his wife go through to be able to serve you. I think, I might get ran out of here, but I think we ought to show the man of God some love. Would you show him some love right now? Show him some love. Show her some love. Yeah, they deserve it. And listen, if you really want to show some love, on the way out, roll up one. I said it. Watch where your mind goes, though, okay? Roll up one, put it in her hand, put it in his hand, let him know you love him. Hey, stand to your feet, would you? Stand to your feet. The theme, the platform that you have built this year on is so provocative. And I want you to join with me. It is built on two passages. One passage comes from the book of Ephesians. The other passage comes from the book of Colossians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21 is the first passage. And I want to read that passage to you now. This is the reason I kneel in the presence of the Father, from whom all the family in heaven and on earth receives its name. I am asking God to give you a gift. Somebody shout gift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like this audience. Yeah. Y'all got a good night's sleep, didn't you? That 8 o'clock audience. No, I'm sorry. Let's see. I am asking God to give you a gift from the wealth of his glory. I pray that he will give you inner strength and power through his spirit. Then Christ will live in you through faith. I also pray that love may be the ground in which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation. This way, with all of God's people, you will be able to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. You will know Christ's love, which goes far beyond any knowledge. I am praying this so that you may be completely filled with God. Glory belongs to who?
God.
Whose power is at work in us. By this power, he can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory belongs to
God.
In the church and in Christ Jesus for all time and eternity. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. You receive Christ Jesus the Lord. So continue to live as Christ's people. Sink your roots in him and build on him. Be strengthened by the faith that you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Be careful not to let anyone rob you of this faith through a shallow and misleading philosophy. Such persons follow human traditions and the world's way of doing things rather than following Christ. Is that in your Bible?
Yes, sir.
A couple of passages, very powerful passage. Paul is trying to enlighten the Christians, trying to let them know that you've got something inside you that's strong. And he is trying to encourage the Christian for the journey, because it ain't easy being a Christian. The devil's always busy. Somebody ought to say amen. Pray with me as we step into this lesson. Lord, we love you. You are so kind. You brought us here. And before you brought us here, you woke us up. And you woke us up in our right mind. And before you woke us up, you watched over us all night long. You stood guard. You kept our hearts beating. You kept oxygen in our lungs. You kept blood flowing through our veins. And so, Lord, we're in this place, and since you brought us to this place, we want to praise you in this place. Thank you for those that will listen. Thank you for the opportunity to share. Would you allow me, Lord, to present your truths in such a way that it might edify us, your people? We love you. Thank you for sending Jesus to rescue us. We all were on our way to a devil's hell, and you stopped it by allowing the cross and the blood from the cross to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we praise you this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The foundation for this year, built on the platform of those two passages that we looked at. And I really would like to spend time making sure that at least we have an awareness of the depth of the passage. And one of the things that scholars teach us to do is to go in and look at some key terms and make sure that the key terms are understood. And so, allow me to go through some of the key terms that are built in these two passages and that will surface throughout the year. The very first term that I want you to see is the term God. Everybody say God.
God.
He is the creator and the ruler of the universe. And he is the source of all moral authority. He is, without a doubt, the supreme being. Then the idea of faith. Faith. Somebody shout faith.
Faith.
Faith is a complete trust, a complete confidence in someone or something. The idea of unmovable, somebody shout unmovable. Not capable of being moved or repositioned. Unshakable, somebody shout unshakable. Unable to get rid of or remove. Unshakable. Then he uses the term rooted. Rooted is from the agricultural world. It has to do with roots. It has to do with the roots going deep. And then the word grounded. Grounded is a term from the construction world, grounded. And so I want this morning to share some thoughts with you that I think will make these terms come alive. I wanted to exegete the passage, and so I spent a lot of time taking deep dives into the passage, but as I was in the passage, I believe God showed me a different direction. And if you don't mind, I want to take you in that direction with me. I was taught that a picture is worth 1,000 words. And so, Junior, you can sit and you can try to exegete, or you can present some pictures. And so in your mind today, I'd like for you to conjure up a picture of the giant Goliath and little David. David and Goliath. You got the picture? Now, most people will recognize Goliath and David. And most people will say that this is young David's greatest battle. Can I suggest to you that it's not his greatest battle, it's his greatest blessing. That when David walks away from the battleground with Goliath laying in the dust, David's whole life will be changed. No longer will he be a little shepherd boy. In fact, he has already been anointed as king, but now the women are going to shout, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. Can I suggest that this ground that David is on is fertile ground and God is about to bless him and change his whole life? Come close to me. I believe God has put in this audience somebody that you right in the midst of a battle, you struggling, you pulling right now. And God sent me here to tell you that if you walk by faith and conquer this giant, your life will never, ever be the same again. That you need to stand up. Don't bow down to this giant. Somebody say, stand up. You see, all of us, every last one of us have lions and tigers. And y'all know that, lions and tigers and lions and tigers and lions? Y'all remember? We all have lions and tigers. We all have battles. We all have giants. But can I suggest to you that battles give us history? And when we have that history, we have preparation. And when we have preparation, we have victories. And victories become our resumes. I need you. I need you today to see this story. And perhaps what I ought to ask you to do is grab your copy of the Bible. I'm going to stay in God's Word, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I want you to, first of all, to see verses 3 through 11. I want you to see this monster that is standing in front of David. He is a giant. But hear me say that giants come to test our faith. Hear me say that giants come to strengthen our faith. You want an unshakable faith? You have to have some battles. Because it is in the battle that we see that our God is an unmovable God. Nobody has to tell this young man that if God be for us, nobody can be against us. Look. Let's see this young guy, and let's examine the giant that he was standing in front of. The Bible says the Philistines were stationed on a hill on one side, and the Israelites were stationed on a hill on the other side. I'm reading 1 Samuel 17, verses 3 through 11. There was a ravine between the two of them. The Philistine army champ came out of their camp. His name was Goliath from Gath. He was 10 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a bronze coat of armor scales weighing 125 pounds. On his legs, he had bronze shin guards, and on his back, a bronze javelin. The shaft of his spear was like the beam used by the weavers. The head of his spear was made of 15 pounds of iron. The man who carried his shield walked ahead of him. Goliath stood and called to the Israelites, "Why do you form a battle line? Am I not a Philistine, and aren't you Saul's servants? Choose a man. Let him come down to fight me. If he can fight me and kill me, then we will be your slaves. But if I overpower him and kill him, then you will be our slaves. Serve us." The Philistine added, "I challenge the Israelites' battle line today. Send out a man so that we can fight each other." When Saul and all the Israelites heard what this Philistine said, they were gripped with fear. Can you see him? Close your eyes for a moment. I want you to see Goliath. The scholars say David was about 17, 18 years of age. The Bible says this giant was 10 feet tall. David, 4 or 5 feet tall. And so this giant, this superhuman, is twice as tall as David. Look at his armor, iron. Look at his armor bearer. I'm telling you, when you look at this giant, he seems invincible. Can I just tell you? Good news and bad news. Believe it or not, all of God's children, sooner or later, will face a giant. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said the good news and the bad news is all of God's children, just because you have been to the watery grave of baptism, the giant's not scared of you. Look. I'm telling you, giants enter in all of our lives. Somebody says, preacher, what's a giant? Well, giants are people. Somebody shout people. Giants are places. Somebody shout places. And giants are things. Somebody shout things. People, places, and things that seek to control our lives. Giants come in all colors. Giants come in all shapes. Giant is a child that you birthed, child that you fed, and that child won't listen to you. Amen. That child is being affected by the world, and I don't care if your mama, your daddy, your grandpa, that child is a giant in your life. Maybe the giant comes in the form of a spouse. That I don't care what you do, that spouse seems to hate your insides. No love, no joy, no peace, just confusion all of the time. Maybe that giant is a job that the man constantly tries his best to put his foot on your throat. Maybe that giant is a sickness. Sickness that won't leave you. Maybe that giant is a financial problem that keeps chasing you over and over. I said to you, all of God's children sooner or later will meet a giant. It's not will we, it is when will we? And when you face the giant, hear me well. When you face the giant, the devil wants the child of God to believe that he or she is in a no-win situation. The devil really wants to fill our hearts with worry. The devil really wants to fill our hearts with fear. The devil really wants to fill our heart with depression. I don't know what I'm going to do. This marriage, this job, this child. And so, the question is, how are you going to handle your giant? I want you to look at David for a moment. I want you to see David's unshakable faith that is rooted in an unmovable God. Don't miss it. I'm looking at the passage now, verse 42 through 47, same text. The Bible says, when the Philistines got a good look at David, when the Philistine got a good look at David, he despised him. After all, David was a young man with a healthy complexion and good looks. The Philistine asked David, am I a dog that you come out to attack me with sticks? So the Philistine called on his gods to curse David. Come on, the Philistine told David, I'll give your body to the birds. David told the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the army of Israel, whom you insulted. Today, Somebody shout today. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down, cut off your head, and this day I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army to the birds and wild animals. The whole world will know that Israel has a God. Then everyone gathered here will know that the Lord can save without sword or spear, because the Lord, this shouting stuff right here, y'all. You in a battle? Don't you know the Lord determines it? I don't care if you have 5 degrees or no degree, if God be for you. David says, the Lord determines every battle's outcome. He will hand all of you over to us. Somebody shout faith.
Faith.
Somebody shout faith again.
Faith.
Look at the person next to you and kind of smile for a second. Just kind of smile. And then tap them on the shoulder. And just tell them, you need faith. Look at them again like you know what's going on in their lives. Just look real serious. Look over your glasses. You know, kind of look at them. Tell them you need faith. And put the emphasis on faith. You got to see this. Don't miss this. The battle had not occurred yet. Don't miss it. David had not slew Goliath yet. But when David looked at Goliath before the battle occurred, David says, I'm going to cut off your head. David says, I'm going to feed your army's bodies to the birds. How did David see what was going to happen? May I suggest to you that when you have an unshakable faith in an unmovable God, you can do absolutely anything. The Bible says, now faith is the substance. It's the substance. Somebody shout substance. It is the stuff. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. How did he see it? He saw it through faith. How are we going to win our victories? Through faith in God. The Bible says, for we walk by
faith.
The Bible says we walk by what?
Faith.
And not by
sight.
How are you going to face tomorrow? How are you going to face that child that you cannot manage? How are you going to face it? How are you going to face that job tomorrow? How are you going to face that illness? How are you going to face life? Here's the promise. Here's the promise for the child of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, the Bible says, there hath no temptation, no giant that has taken you, but such is common to man. But God is what? But God is what?
Faithful.
But God is what?
Faithful.
Did I say he was an unmovable God? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Would you just look up and just shout, I need faith.
I need faith.
The Bible says, but without faith,
it is impossible
to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't know. Big old audience like this. Maybe one person, maybe two, maybe five. Somebody's facing a giant right now. And maybe your giant is sitting right next to you. And you can't say much, so if you don't mind, just kind of wink at me. Let me see you wink at me. Yeah, I saw. Keep it on the down low. I saw. Listen. Can I suggest that if you're facing a giant right now, God brought you here. That the reason that you are sitting here is God wants to give you something, so God will let you know that he is with you like never ever before. What does he want to give you? He wants to give you some rocks. You need some rocks. Look at the person and say you next to you. Say you need some rocks. Can I suggest that better than just having some rocks, what you need is a rock bag. You need a rock bag. And can I suggest you ought not leave home without your rock bag. See, if you got your rock bag in your hand, your rock bag is going to bless you. And your rock bag is going to make your enemy shake. We need faith. Somebody shout faith again. Somehow, Saul, a child of God, was living his life faithless. I want you to see it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. Look at that verse. The Bible says, Saul responded to David, "You can't fight this Philistine. You are just a boy. He has been a warrior since he was your age." Stop for a second. Recall, reflect. These words are coming out of King Saul's mouth. Stop, reflect. King Saul is the head. He is the king of the Israelites. King Saul is a man who has been blessed by God. King Saul is from the tribe, the godly tribe of the Benjamites. God has touched Saul's life and took him from being a nobody to a somebody. But yet, this moment in time, Saul is living a faithless life. Somebody say, But the real question is not about Saul. The real question, if you don't mind me getting personal with you, the real question is about you and I. You see, we're children of God. Somebody say amen. We've been to the water. Somebody say amen. God has blessed us. Somebody say amen. But so many times we miss out on our blessings because we are faithless. It has nothing to do with God's power. He's all powerful. It has to do with you and I.
See, when God made Saul king, the Bible says he was head and shoulders above anybody else. And so in terms of stature, if anybody could have gone out there and stood toe to toe, it would have been Saul. But Saul is fearful. Can I suggest to you that when we are fearful, when we are full of worry, when we are doubtful, then our faith is shakable and our unmovable God will not work in our behalf. Too many of God's children are missing out on the victories that God has for his children. I wonder what God had said, listen, I'm going to give you the battle. But he did not. And I'm suggesting today that God is in control of all of the circumstances in our lives. I am suggesting today that it is God's will that we be the head and not the tail. I am suggesting today that it is God's will that our cup runneth over. I am suggesting today that some of us in here are supposed to be at the head of the class. I am suggesting that there is somebody listening today that you are supposed to get the promotion. You are supposed to own your own business. You are supposed to lead. He made us. He made us. And since he made us, he knows what he has declared for our future. But in order for us to experience what God has for us, we got to have faith. Somebody shout faith.
Faith.
See, faith is walking out on something. It's taking a step. It's moving in a direction. And you can't quite see but in order for David to defeat Goliath, he's got to walk out on faith. He's got to walk out on the limb of faith. And I am suggesting that in order for us to get where God has destined us to be, we've got to walk out on faith.
I need you to look at David's unshakable. Somebody say unshakable.
I need you to see David's unshakable faith because of his testimony. See, when you've been through something, you got a testimony. When you've been tested, you got a testimony. I want you to see his faith.
1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33 through 37. And I'm rushing. We're going to end this thing in just a second. Listen to what the Bible says. Saul responded to David. You can't fight this Philistine. You are just a boy. But he's been a warrior since he was your age. David replied to Saul, I am a shepherd for my father's sheep. Whenever a lion, somebody shout lion.
Lion.
Or a bear, somebody shout bear. Came out and carried off a sheep from the flock. I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. If it attacked me, I took hold of its mane, struck it, and what, church? I have killed lions. I have killed bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has challenged the army of the living God. David added, the Lord, who say, has God done anything for anybody in here today? Yes, sir. Let me just check. Has God brought anybody through something today? Yes, sir. Amen. See, David had something in his head. And when you got something in your head, it makes you strong. It gives you unshakable faith, because you know you have an unmovable God. Saul told David, may the Lord be with you. What are you trying to suggest, preacher? You? What are you trying to suggest? I'm trying to suggest that every child of God ought to have a testimony. You're sitting here listening to me, you ought to have a testimony. Job says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of giants. You've had some giants in your life. And the reason you're here is because God brought you through your giant battles. Let me in. Look at verse 50 and 51. I want you to see. This is my shouting point right here. If I don't get back to Greenville Avenue, you know I went too far on this one right here. So using, y'all with me? Y'all there? So using a sling and a stone, David proved to be stronger than the Philistine. David struck down and killed. Somebody shall kill. Shall kill again. Kill. He killed the Philistine. Even though David didn't have a sword in his hand, David ran and stood over the Philistine. He took Goliath's sword, pulled it out of its sheath, and made certain that the Philistine was dead by cutting off his head. When the Philistine saw their hero had been killed, they fled. Y'all, listen, this is my shouting point. If I was down the street at Mount Bethel or over there at First Corinth, church would be shouting right about now. Amen. See, I need you to see David. Amen. Don't talk to me about the rocks. All right. I saw the rocks, but now I want you to see this young boy. All right. The Bible says that when he saw Goliath dead, he ran. What are you doing there? I'm running. Somebody shout running. He's running toward Goliath. Now, I don't know, but I in my sanctified imagination, I believe David put one foot on his chest, another foot on his chest, reached down, pulled up his sword, cut off his head, stuck that sword. Pull up Goliath's head. David started running through the camp. What are you doing, David? I'm showing everybody that I serve an unmovable God. I'm showing everybody
that my God is an awesome God. Look. Can I get close to you for a moment? I have a question for you. Earlier, I asked you, had God ever fought a giant in your life for you? And you said yes. This time, the question is not, has God been there for you? The question this time is, have you been there for God? See, you got to see David. David wanted the world to know, this is what my God has done. He ran through the camp holding that head up, and everybody got courage because they could see that God is an awesome God. Can I ask you a question? When God delivers you, do you go to work and tell everybody, my God is an awesome God? When God brings you out of the hospital, do you have a praise report? When God gives you the promotion, when God gives you the degree, when God gives you the business, are you about the business of saying, look what my God did? Yeah. See, if you know that if it had not been for God, you don't mind praising God. See, when God's been good to you, you got to tell people at the job. You got to tell people at the house. You got to tell people in the neighborhood. You got to tell people in the church house. God is a good God. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
See, I want you to walk away from here today saying, I serve a God. He's an unmovable God. And I'm going to have unshakable faith.
Amen.
You see, every once in a while, somebody needs to remind us what God we serve.
Right.
See, I serve a God. You serve a God that said, let there be light. And there was light. Somebody ought to say, thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
I serve a God. You serve a God. We serve a God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Somebody ought to shout, thank you, God.
Amen.
We serve a God that says, ask and it shall be. Somebody shout, thank you, God. We serve a God that says, before my child even asks, I'm going to answer. Somebody shout, thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
We serve a God that says, no weapon formed against you will prevail. Somebody shout, thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
I know. I know you got your Sunday go to meeting clothes on. I know you all dignified. You probably got that perfume smelling right now. But I know you got a giant in your life right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the question, the real question is, how are you going to deal with that giant?
Unmovable God.
Are you going to deal with that giant as if you have faith in an unmovable God and you will not be shaken? Or are you going to cower down? Give yourself an ulcer?
Come on now.
Worry yourself sick? Somebody shout faith.
Faith.
Somebody shout out, I need faith.
I need faith.
Stand to your feet. I believe the reason God put me on the road last night and God brought me here is because God wanted me to speak a word. I wish I could look you in the face. I wish I could touch you on the shoulder. I wish I could say, you know what? God asked me to speak to you today. He heard your prayer. He sees what you are up against. He sees what's happening at the job. He sees what's happening in your family. He sees what's happening in your body. He sees, and he wants you to know that if you allow him,
yes,
you're on the verge. You're on the verge. Take the right step, and all of your history will be changed. You'll be just like David. Your whole life will be changed because you took a step of faith.
Yes.
It's time now. You're standing because it's time to take a step of faith. The elders, the minister, they position themselves because it's prayer time. I believe in the power of prayer.
Amen.
Before Brother Gibbs left and I left out of the office this morning, we knelt, we prayed. Before we left out of the office for the second service, we knelt, we prayed. Why? Because we believe in the power of prayer. Anybody else believe in the power of prayer?
Yes,
it's prayer time. I'm looking for some child that's dealing with something. You got to go to the doctor next week. You got to go to a job today. You got to go back to a family. You got to go with. I'm looking for some child of God right now to say, you know what? I'm going to step out. I'm stepping out on faith. I need the shepherds to pray about this. People are walking. Don't take that giant back home with you.
Amen.
Somebody up here ought to walk. See, we serve a God that can do absolutely anything. And because we are under covenant with God, we've been to the water, we've had our sins washed away, God is just sitting there saying, I wish my child would ask me. I wish my child would trust me. I'll knock that giant down. It's prayer time. God wants to fix it. But if you got sin in your life, you need to get rid of the sin so he can help you.
Amen.
To sit and call on God and you wallowing in sin, God does not hear a sinner's prayer. Somebody today ought to say, you know what? I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of trying to do it myself. I'm going to walk down front. I'm going to the water. I'm going to have my sins washed away. Jesus is going to be the Lord of my life. In the first service this morning, somebody walked down front. Another person walked down front. One person got baptized because they realized it's all about God. It's not about my degrees. It's not about my connection. It's not about my money. It's not about my intelligence, my savvy. No, it's about God. If I'm going to get through this, it's going to be who?
God.
Amen.
People are coming. I believe there's somebody out there that God says, John, don't shut it down quite yet. My child is thinking. Encourage them. Brother Gibbs is here. I believe Brother Gibbs will walk down one of these aisles and he'll meet you. Excuse me. Who's leading singing? You know I surrender all. Can I change you? You mind if I do? They're not going to invite me back anymore, so I don't care. I surrender. I'm giving this to God. I'm not taking this home. I surrender all.
To Jesus I surrender all. To him I
freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence.
Bring it to God. You won't have to identify what the giant is. Just bring the giant to God.
Surrender, here I come, God.
God, help me with this. God, help me.
At his feet.
Help me.
And worldly pleasures.
I'm yours. This giant is breathing down my throat. Help me, God.
Me, Jesus, take me now. And I'm surrender.
I'm bringing it. I got tears. I got heartache, but I'm bringing it.
Surrender. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.